Thank you for listening to the Field Craft Survival Podcast. I'm Kevin Estella. Just want to give a quick shout out to the Sig Sauer Academy and Sig Sauer. They're one of our sponsors here at Field Craft Survival Podcast. And Sig is one of those awesome companies that I've really enjoyed working with over the years. Even before I joined the ranks of the Field Craft Survival crew, I was going up to the Sig Sauer Academy back in 2015 and training up there. Guys, if you can't train with us at one of our locations, go up to New Hampshire, go meet the folks from the Sig Sauer Academy and train with them up there. There's a lot to do in the live free or die state. And I'll tell you, you can make a weekend out of it. So you show up the night before, you do your thing, go out to dinner, take the wife or the husband, whatever you got. And the next morning, go out, get a good breakfast, train, go to the experience center, get a good meal at Goody Cole's. Go stay at the Exeter Inn, great place, and just really just enjoy that area. New Hampshire is one of the greatest states to train in, super friendly people, and I think you're really going to enjoy training at the Sig Academy. I've been there probably 24 times in my lifetime, and I've done everything from the pistol classes to the carbine classes, the defensive shotgun courses, and the precision rifle courses. Probably the most fun you're going to have there is bullets on vehicles, where you do a lot of ballistic training through glass and into vehicles. And probably one of the most important classes you will ever take is the 3-day precision rifle class, because it will make you a better shooter across every platform. Not to mention you get a chance to shoot out to 1,000 yards. Sig is really, really raising the bar, you can say that, with the experience center. I mean, they've got a museum there. They have an indoor shooting range. The pro shop is a place where you can spend a lot of money, so just be real careful. And while you're up there, look for, you know, some of my good buddies that are up there in the instructor cadre. If you see Cav, tell him that you got Cadbury eggs, and I'm sure he'll do all sorts of things for you, helping you out with, you know, your skill set on the range and all. So guys, please check out SigSauer.com. And please check out the Sig Sauer Academy. And by the way, that is how it's pronounced, Sig Sauer. It's not Sig Sauer. And I think you're going to have a great time. So, all right, guys, thank you so much for listening to the Field Craft Podcast. Until next time. What do I put inside of my winter vehicle survival kit? God, I don't know how many times I hear that question. I get it all the time in seminars. I get it in direct messages online. I get it in conversations with people. When they find out that I'm a survival instructor, bushcrafter, it's a very, very common question. And it's a good question. It's a question that probably can truly make a difference between someone having a very, very terrible time in a broken down vehicle on the side of the road, or a stuck vehicle on the side of the road, or them getting home to their family in a nice warm bed. Guys, my name is Kevin Estella. I'm the host of this podcast, and I want to present what you should carry in your cold weather vehicle survival kit. Now, guys, right off the bat, I want to start off by saying that this is going to be a little bit of a mindset talk, but I'm going to go through a concrete list of 45 different items along with my own suggestions of what you should carry. So buckle up. This is going to be a long one. And let's start off with that mindset talk. So guys, where this comes from is the Wilderness Learning Center, where I used to be a survival instructor. I started there in 2007. I taught there until 2012. And the Wilderness Learning Center was founded by my late mentor, Marty Simon. Marty being an old Vietnam veteran, Army survival instructor, probably the best survival instructor the country has ever seen. So Marty came up with this winter vehicle survival kit, and it was grounded in what is both possible and probable. And this was something that he carried religiously. Now, I don't carry every single one of these items because I found other things to be appropriate, or I found that they're not fitting into my scenario where it is both possible and probable. Keep in mind, he lived up on the US-Canada border, a lot of farmland. And even though I'm here in North Carolina, and there is the same amount of farmland and cold weather, we definitely do not get the same type of winters that Marty did up there. So let's start off with the title itself, Winter Vehicle Survival Kit. A lot of people will say, well, hey, I need a winter vehicle survival kit. I need a winter vehicle survival kit. And they're stressing that word winter, but they're forgetting what they're really preparing for, what they're really packing gear for, and that is cold weather. So I want you to think of it this way. If you are traveling somewhere where you could experience cold weather, you should be carrying these items. and realize that cold weather doesn't just exist in the wintertime. You can be in the high desert in Utah, early spring, late summer, temperature swing is going to be 30 degrees, and you could potentially be in a freezing environment in September, right? You could get snow at high elevations at strange times of the year. So stop calling it a winter vehicle survival kit and call it a cold weather survival kit, because cold weather can kill you in the summertime. You get off the water, you're soaking wet. Let's say that you are canoeing and you can't start a fire. You can die because of that cold weather and exposure in the summertime. So stop calling it a winter vehicle survival kit. Be prepared, be ready to address cold weather. So like I said, I'm going to go through this list of 45 different items. Some of them are pretty obvious. I don't need to, you know, run my mouth and take up your time, because your time is vital. I don't need to do that for all these, but for some of them I will. All right. So starting with number one, windshield ice scraper. Seems pretty common sense, but there are plenty of people online who have posted up pictures of others that they've seen. Recently, a guy scraping the windshield of a Tesla, probably a rental car, with a metal shovel. Now, if you think about this, this might seem like, well, yeah, it's cold weather. You probably want a scraper for your windshield. You need to be able to see through your windshield in order to drive. Do not pour hot water on a windshield. It can crack it. And don't use metal on a windshield, because metal can scratch a windshield. I did that in college stupidly, clearing off a vehicle, and I'll own that one. So get yourself a good ice scraper for your windshield. If you need to leave your house in an emergency, either you're going to do the Ace Ventura with your head out the window, or you're going to scrape that windshield and keep going. Okay, number two, snow brush. Snow brush is not the same as an ice scraper. I'm guilty of this. I will use my sleeve. I'll use my arm. I'll just take the entire armful of snow off the hood. If you're driving down the road and you do have a whole bunch of snow on your vehicle, and a big chunk of that snow is actually ice and it comes off and it hits the vehicle behind you, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to get ticketed. Also, that snow brush is going to allow you to remove all of that so you can actually see better. So get yourself a good snow brush. Now, a shovel. Personally, I use a Demos Delta shovel. It's a freaking expensive shovel. I had to pay for that shovel out of pocket. I paid for it out of pocket. I did not get a writer's discount when I wrote an article about that shovel back in 2020, 2019. I don't regret it to this day. I mean, I think I paid $250-$300 for that damn thing, but that shovel is collapsible, fully extendable. It's a full-size shovel, tough as nails. Get yourself a good snow shovel. But if you can't get a good snow shovel like that one, don't worry about carrying a full-size shovel if you have the room. If you have a truck, get yourself a regular full-size shovel. There's no shame in having that. You don't have to have the cool overlanding shovel. Just because you put overlanding on something doesn't make it more capable. Just makes you be able to sell it for more. All right, booster cables, 4 or 6 gauge. There are some booster cables you can buy at the dollar store, but they're probably inferior gauge. They're probably lighter duty. Get yourself actually good booster cables. You don't know if your scenario, your winter or cold weather vehicle emergency, is going to be just jumping someone's battery. So get yourself some good jumper cables. And to that, I'm going to add, when this article came out, there wasn't the NOCO battery boosters, the battery packs. I am due to replace the battery in my 4Runner. It's about 3 years old, and it's been kind of having some rough turnovers in the morning. So I know I need a new battery. A couple times the battery has been drained, and I've had to use that NOCO, and it works so easily. 2 jumper cables that are on it. You hit the power button, you go. Guys, get yourself that. I would say that a shovel, I'm going to make my running top list here. So if you hear my Jesus, let me drink some coffee. Shout out to Lynette's for having awesome coffee. There are little Cuban bakery next door. If you hear my pen clicking, I'm just making my notes of like my top items. So I'm going to say shovel. I'm going to say battery pack. And we're going to keep going here. Okay, flashlight with extra batteries, lithium preferred. Standard alkaline batteries will die in the wintertime. They'll die in cold weather. If you get lithium batteries, not only are they less vulnerable to the cold, they also have the ability to store longer. So get a good flashlight, make sure that you have batteries in it, and get into the habit of testing those batteries, and you'll be good to go. Okay, road flares, Marty said 6. Road flares, multi-purpose, right? Signaling, letting people know that you're broken down on the side of the road. Also, the ability to make fire. Years ago in American Survival Guide, this is like 1997 or 1996, there was an article about having a dedicated fire kit inside your vehicle. And at the time, the author's fire kit included chopped up pieces of Duraflame log, some newspaper, some kitchen matches that were dipped in paraffin wax. Well, today we know there are better fire starters out there. I would prefer just carrying a whole bunch of Vaseline and cotton, maybe some stormproof matches, a big ferro rod, put it inside of a Rubbermaid container, put it under your vehicle, driver's seat, you're good to go. Okay, this next one, number 7, is probably one of the most interesting ones. It's called a help flag with an extension pole 10 feet long. So Marty believed in carrying a spare tent pole inside of his vehicle with a triangular shaped piece of high visibility cloth. And the reason behind that was if you're driving through the farmlands and your vehicle goes off the side of the road and a plow truck comes by thinking, hey, your vehicle's just abandoned, you're not in it. Well, over time in a blizzard and with snow drifts, you could easily be buried. So Marty said, stay inside your vehicle, crack the window and extend this pole. So you extend your 10-foot pole up in the air and it's got a flag on it. Now, this potentially could save a life because it saved a life in the past. Marty was at the Adirondack Sportsman's Dinner, which is up in Scroon Lake, New York. And Marty said that he was approached by a woman who he gave this clinic at the Vermont Outdoor Guides Association Doe Camp. And the woman was like, hey, just so you know, this actually happened to me. It saved my life. Thank you. So carry a help flag with an extension pole. And that will be a way of signaling in case you're somewhere where you could go off the side of the road. You have no other high-tech ways of signaling for help. And you just need to get a visual distress up there. Okay. Axe or hatchet. Now, this is where, this is where you know, the Obi-Wan and, you know, Luke Skywalker tend to disagree, or Luke Skywalker and Yoda disagree. So if Marty was Yoda, I was Skywalker. Marty was not a big fan of axes and hatchets. Marty was a machete guy all day. He carried an Ontario 1-12 machete, and I was a hatchet guy. I still am a hatchet guy. Everything from a Gransfer's Brooks wildlife hatchet, the mini hatchet, all the way up to my super high-end Liam Hoffman blacksmithing hatchets. I believe that you should carry a way of cutting trees in your car. And Marty says axe or hatchet. The hatchet would make sense if you are traveling somewhere with light vegetation. But if you're in the thick woods, you need the ability to buck logs. And you're going to do that better with a full-size axe. So with that being said, even though I love axes and hatchets, I'm going to tell you the best wood cutting, wood processing tool that you're going to find is a Silky saw. And in particular, if you want to avoid carrying a chainsaw in your car, get yourself the Katana Boy. It's about $140-$150. It's about as long as I am tall, so about 6 feet long. And that thing will cut fast. It's a lot safer, by the way, than swinging a hatchet in the wintertime, in the cold weather, on the ice, wherever you are. So I'm going to recommend that. All right, number 9, fire extinguisher. Pretty simple. ABC fire extinguisher. Make sure you test it. Shake it. Make sure that it's good to go. Kitty litter, 10 pounds. Now, this one I got to disagree with. You can use kitty litter. You can use evergreen boughs. You can carry sand. You can carry strips of carpet. And in a pinch, you can take your vehicle's carpet, your mats out, and use that for traction. Bottom line, get yourself MaxTrax. I've been carrying MaxTrax for about 10 years. I use them more than anything else. I have a $2,000 winch on my vehicle that I've probably used 3 times for legit purposes since I bought it about, 6 years ago. Maybe longer. I think actually, when did I get that vehicle? So probably 2017. Yeah, 7 years ago. I probably used it 3 times. I've used my MaxTrax boards over and over and over. Get MaxTrax. Okay, Marty says for number 11, high lift jack or a come along. You guys can look up how to use a high lift jack. Just make sure that you have a secure lifting point on your vehicle's frame. A come along is great if you don't want to buy a winch. Come along is great if you don't have a buddy who could pull you out. Okay. 12 inch by 12 inch by 3/4 plywood panels, two of them. These are going to be used as a jack base. Number 13, heavy tow rope or snatch chains. I like a Bubba rope myself. You can choose what you want to carry, but this is for a vehicle assist. This is if you see a car and you want to pull it, right? You can do that. Just be forewarned. If you do damage to someone else's car, they're probably going to come after you. If it's your buddy, then it'll test your friendship. I would rather just use the MaxTrax. Again, shout out MaxTrax. That's going on my list of top recommendations. Okay, tire chains and chain tighteners. Depending on where you are, you may be required to have tire chains on your vehicle. Studded tires are better than standard tires. If you've never driven on studded tires, it's like having an unfair advantage. It's like having a cheat code. Okay, gas can and extra gas. Okay, so this is number 15. It makes sense to carry extra gas on your vehicle. When I was out in Utah, I had my rigged Ultra Swing on the back of my vehicle. It's a supplemental hitch carrier for a tire. And on the inside of that, I carried a Rotopax 3-gallon gas container. Now, I looked at that gas container not just as 3 gallons. I looked at it as a minimum of 45 miles of extra range that my vehicle could get. So if you carry gas, think about what is the lowest gas mileage you could get in two-wheel drive, or lowest gas mileage you can get in four-wheel drive. I know my vehicle on a bad day gets about 12 miles per gallon, but on a good day gets close to 21.9, right? I just can't break that 22 mile per gallon limit with the 4Runner. But when I carried those 3 gallons, I was getting about 45 extra miles to my vehicle just in case I ran out of gas. Guys, carry extra gas. Okay, space blankets. Marty said 3 of them. You can use your space blanket to take part of your vehicle and close it off. So in cold weather survival classes, I always teach, take a space blanket, and if you have a four-door car, you separate the compartment, the cab, by putting that up against the ceiling, down against the floor, tucked inside the doors. And by doing that, you only have to effectively warm half the cab. So you're saving body heat by warming part of the vehicle. That's the recommendation there. All right, number 17, extra coat, hat, and pants. And the preference is warm. If you want to find an awesome setup, look for a linebacker jacket. My good buddy, Brian Edwards, he goes by Wilderness Woodcraft on Instagram. He just gave me a linebacker set, size large. I'm normally an extra large top. I'm normally a 36-inch waist. Again, 6 feet tall, 215 pounds. The size large fits me, and it can fit me and my Kafaru backpack. So this was designed to go over all of your kit. If you're in a vehicle and you need to take care of your vehicle on the side of the road, you can always throw on extra clothes. You can always throw on something warm. If you need to abandon your vehicle and walk for help, you now have warm clothes. So carry a few things inside your vehicle. If you guys have watched the video of me going through my everyday carry backpack where I'm like, hey, I carry extra socks. If I'm training, my feet get wet, I want to be able to throw on dry socks. It's a daily carry item. In my vehicle, I have dry clothes for the same reason. Number 18, gloves or mittens. Mittens preferred. Marty believed in carrying gloves, wool gloves for your fingers and your hands, but then having leather over mitts for over the top of that. The reason being, the leather over mitts for extreme cold still allow you to lobster claw, grab things like your axe or your shovel or your saw, whatever. But then if you needed dexterity, you could take off the leather over mitt and you're not exposing your bare skin to the air. You now have your wool glove that's protecting your skin. So I like the idea of carrying the combo of gloves and mittens, but again, having wool gloves, leather mittens. Okay, number 19. Rubber boots. So hear me out on this one. There are plenty of people, I'm one of them, for many years when I was a high school history teacher, I would commute to work with my dress shoes on. I had to be semi-formal, essentially, dressed like a businessman, dressed with a collared shirt, tie, khakis, and I'm not running around in my hiking boots. Now, listen, there are some times I did wear hiking boots in the winter or whatever, cold weather, but I always have extra boots in my vehicle. I have boots that I could change into and walk a great distance. Now, could I be on my feet all day with a pair of, you know, dress shoes? Yeah, no problem. But what is going to give me more support? What is going to allow me to walk through, you know, strange terrain? Hiking boots, or even low cut water resistant shoes. I would prefer to wear those. So if you are in your vehicle and you don't make it to work, or you're on your way back from work, your vehicle breaks down, think of this scenario. Would you want to walk home or walk to help in your work shoes? Or would you want to put on shoes that are meant for work? So carry a good set of rubber boots. I mean, if you throw on, or if you throw a set of like lacrosse knee-high boots, or you throw a set of, what the hell are they called? Muck boots. I have the Arctics. You throw those in your vehicle, you're going to be pretty damn warm. Also, it'll keep your feet warm if you have to sleep in your vehicle. Okay, number 20. This is one that Marty changed his mind on over the years. Candles, 6 of them, empty coffee can. Marty believed that candles in the empty coffee can, yeah, it's mentioned in a lot of different survival books. And people say, oh, it'll raise the temperature of your vehicle so much. And that's just not the case. You have a flame source inside your vehicle. Depending on the nature of your emergency, you may not want to have an open flame inside of a vehicle. In fact, if you do get into a wreck, I'd recommend that you turn your car off so there is no ignition going on where you could potentially have leaking gas. I turn the car off, I turn the lights off. Now, that being said, instead of doing the candle and the coffee cup, carry emergency hand warmers. How long will you be in your vehicle in this emergency? If emergency hand warmers are 8 hours or 12 hours, you take 2 of them and you put them on your kidneys. You take 2 of them and you put them on your femoral arteries near your groin. You take 2 of them and you put them under your armpit. There's 6. They don't take up a lot of space. And if you're worried about like, hey, I'm going to be in my car for 72 hours, well, there's 18 of them for the nighttime hours that are the coldest. If you want to carry more, carry 36. And now you have 8 to 12 hours. You've got part of the daytime hours covered. And if you really want to carry even more, you can carry a box of probably 72 hand warmers and about the same size of a shoebox. So you can do that. You can get a sleeping bag. But realize that I'm not a big fan to this day of using the candle inside unless you're using it to thaw ice into water. And that would be one of the reasons. And if that's the case, get like an Exotac candle. Exotac has 2 different candles. One is a hot burn, one is a long burn, and they're both pretty damn good. Okay, number 21 kind of goes with the candles. That's matches, self-explanatory. 22, paper towels, half roll. Paper towels, put a bungee cord through the paper towel, clip it inside your vehicle. Now you have a way of dispensing your paper towels. And if you do some bungee cord with a little cord lock, you now have a way of preventing those paper towels from kind of spooling out. All right, guys, we're roughly at the halfway point here. Again, if you're just tuning into this or you're catching up on this, this is the winter vehicle survival kit that my late mentor Marty from the Wilderness Learning Center put out years ago, and I'm revisiting it with my personal suggestions and my top 5 or my top 10 items at the very end, along with some other suggestions that are relatively new products. We don't often train for cold weather vehicle-based survival, but when we do, it's eye-opening. And one of the things that we tend to do instead of training, which is difficult, we just buy kit and assume, hey, we're going to make it through. Guys, all these items that I'm talking to you about, these are items that you do need to train with. You need to train in your backyard. And if you are in an area or you have a friend who will let you do this, go to their backyard, go to their garage, go wherever you can that's safe and won't alert suspicion or have the cops, you know, draw down on you, and try this out. Try sitting in your vehicle for 8 hours. See what that feels like. Try camping in your vehicle, right? If you can stay in your vehicle without having to break the seal of the door, then you know what? You're well on your way of understanding what it takes to survive in your vehicle. Okay, guys, let's get back to this list right here. We're on number 23, blankets, two of them. Marty was a believer in the USGI wool blanket, and there are so many wool blankets that are out there. Now, a couple words of warning with your blankets. If you guys go out there and you buy USGI style blanket, well, when they say style as opposed to surplus, style is a modern reproduction of a formerly issued item. And because it's a modern reproduction and they're primarily going for the look of it as opposed to the function, that wool blanket that you're buying might actually be mostly nylon. And if you use a nylon blanket like you would a wool blanket, you're looking to melt that nylon or destroy that nylon in the process. It's also not going to be as warm because wool has incredible insulative properties. So Marty believed in having two blankets, one that you could put underneath you, one that you could drape over you. And shelter concept is shelter IOU, inside of, over, and under. If you are sleeping on top of that wool blanket, now you have the over, you are inside your vehicle and you are underneath the roof of that car. Now, that second blanket, you can drape around your shoulders. You can put it over your head and wear it like, you know, E.T., you know, when he's in the basket. But the wool blankets are fantastic. If you don't have room for a wool blanket and you just have a sleeping bag, same idea. Get a good sleeping bag, get a quilt, put that in your car. All right, number 24, tire repair kit. So when we think about what is going to potentially cause us a problem in cold weather, it could be a battery issue, which we've already addressed with the booster cables, the NOCO. The other issue is going to be a tire issue, either spinning tires, flat tires. Now, if you have a flat tire, one of the issues that comes up frequently in cold weather is that you go to use your jack and the jack sinks into the snow. Or you go to use your jack and let's say it's not super cold, but it's just over freezing and the jack sinks into the mud. Well, one of the other issues that comes up is what causes you to have to change your tire in the first place, which could be a puncture. Learning how to repair a tire is not difficult. When you get a tire repair kit, you're going to get basically two tools and a bunch of these like little tacky strips. The first tool is a reamer. So let's say that you have a puncture to your tire. You pull out that puncture and your tire might already be flat, or you might start hearing your tire rapidly lose air. So what you then do is you take your reamer, you put your reamer inside your tire and you ream it out and you clean up those edges a little bit. You then take the second tool, which looks like an ice pick with like a needle's eye in the end, and you put some of that tacky material through it about halfway and you jam that thing all the way in. And when you pull it out, it gets caught on the edges of the puncture. At that point, you pull it quickly or you cut it and now you just put a tire plug in. Marty believed in understanding how to repair a tire. Once you repair your tire, you have to inflate your tire. So one of the things that he recommends, and this is number 25, and this is one that you got to be careful with, is tire inflator or sealer. Now, talk to anyone in the automotive industry, and they'll tell you, do not use that tire inflator sealer. You're destroying your tire. People aren't going to want to work on your tire. And I completely agree. But I'm going to say this, that tire inflator, that tire sealer, if your life is on the line and you have absolutely no other option, you're going to wish you had that tire inflator or sealer. Now, what would be a better solution is carrying some type of compressor. For years, I like the Slime compressor. It's a tiny little unit that's roughly the size of like an old thermos and lunchbox, and it would inflate a tire. It would take a long time. But hey, if it's an emergency where the urgency is you getting out of there and it's not like, you know, you got a whole bunch of chupacabras or something like that chasing you, well, you have the time to just wait around for that thing to do its work. But it is reliant on battery power. So that's when you need to kind of assess what is the best air compressor out there. Something that uses its own battery, something that uses your vehicle's battery, right? Figure that out for you. All right, guys, let's keep moving on. We're on number 26, one can of WD-40. Pretty self-explanatory. 27, dry gas, 3 cans, isopropyl preferred. Marty was a fan of winter fuel additives. And not only are you going to use it for your gas tank to prevent, you know, any issues with your fuel system, but you can also use it as an emergency fire starter. It's alcohol. Just be careful, because when alcohol is on fire, when it's lit, it's very difficult to see when it's daytime. So you might be moving something around, spilling burning alcohol on you. Just be careful with that one. All right. Radiator stop leak, available at a hardware store, self-explanatory. Gas tank repair kit. So for this one, he never really specified everything that you need for your gas tank repair kit. But what he wanted people to think about is like, what kind of issues could you potentially have with your vehicle? And one of them is you get a punctured gas tank. Well, if you are of the mindset like, hey, I can armor that thing up, then you can get armor plating for underneath your vehicle, whether it is aluminum, steel. I think there's even some polymer ones that are out there, and it's a great option. I personally don't want to, and I don't even know how to go underneath my vehicle and repair a gas tank, right? Full disclosure, I'm not the mechanic in, you know, the company. That's more Mikey Hernandez. But I would say ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. I would rather get some type of protectant for that fuel tank. All right. Number 30, chocolate bars, 4 large bars or high energy trail mix. Keep this in mind. Whatever you decide to put in your vehicle for an emergency food source, that emergency food source, you need to be able to consume it when it is frozen. And there are some great options out there for food, but if you try biting into it, you're probably going to break your teeth. Now, Marty believed in a high calorie cold weather trail mix, which was cashews, coconut flakes, butterscotch chips, and cranberries. Yeah, it was cashews, coconut mix, butterscotch chips, cranberries, and the other thing was Cheerios. Now, that provided, I believe it was 400 calories per half cup, which is pretty good. And you can carry a whole Ziploc bag of that stuff. And if you get stuck in your vehicle, you're just going to be eating trail mix all day. Let me get some more of this coffee. You have other options. And something that I came across recently, a former podcast guest, something I used on survival challenges in the past couple of years, are the Range meal bars. You're getting 800 calories for something about the size of a deck of cards. I have them in every door panel of my vehicle. And if you listen to the podcast I did with Tuhan Harley Elmore, my SIOC instructor, Tuhan Harley from SIOC Hali, he talks about in his vehicle, he believes in making every seat a station. Underneath every seat is a water bottle. It's a ball cap, right? There's tools for each role: driver, navigator, support, etc. You can do the same thing with your food mix, where you say, look, I'm going to put one in every door panel or underneath every seat. Just make sure that you regularly check it and you don't leave it behind. And also make sure it's sealed up tightly in case you have any critters come and visit you and you leave your window open. Not a good idea in national parks, by the way. Okay. Canned fruit or nuts. I'm not a fan of carrying canned fruit in my vehicle. I don't think the juice is worth the squeeze, so to speak. The reason being is the canned fruit is going to freeze solid. It is a source of energy, right? It's high sugar, but so is honey. And honey is something that I would rather stomach that than that like pure sugary syrupy concoction. So I'd rather put honey in my vehicle, like a small jar of it. I think it's also easier to heat up. And you can get these little honey packets, honey sticks, put those in your vehicle. But then the other thing is the nuts. You can just carry, put a couple cans of peanuts or whatever in your vehicle. But in addition to the nuts and the winter high calorie cold weather trail mix, just make sure you're not getting a lot of salt content. It'll make you want to drink more. Okay. Number 32, radiator hose repair kit or rubber tape and hose clamps. There is some amazing tape that's out there for your radiator hoses. There's some tape that works great. Duct tape, maybe. Duct tape works everywhere, and that's actually the next item on our list. But radiator hose tape, that is purpose-built. And if you have an issue with your vehicle, older vehicle, if you're not checking your radiator hoses, if little vermin decide to make their way into your engine compartment and chew up all the insides, they might go after that radiator hose. So guys, just be prepared for that. All right, number 34, baling wire. You can use baling wire. You can use the cable ties. You don't know when you're going to need to just do a quick attachment. You can hit an animal and your vehicle can be dragging, right? Part of your fender can be dragging on the ground. You might need to wire it off. You might need to use those cable ties. Not a bad idea. For the longest time, my 4Runner, the skid plate, when I brought it in for a checkup, they were trying to take off the skid plate and they broke a screw inside. And they're like, oh, we can't get that screw out of there. So we're just going to have to use these heavy duty cable ties. And it worked fine. Cable ties are strong. Cable ties are cheap. My hunting buddy, Dave Pandisha, he puts cable ties inside of his air conditioner vents in his dashboard because they go down into, the air conditioner unit and they get out of the way. But if he needs them, he grabs them. They're right there. And they also fit underneath your seat pretty easily. Okay, number 35, toolkit. So what tools should be in your toolkit? This is a whole other conversation right here, but we can talk about a handful of tools, and I'm going to use my pen and paper over here to keep track. I would say you definitely want to put an all-purpose claw hammer inside of your toolkit. I would say you probably want to carry some channel locks for a variety of purposes, at least two of them. You probably also want to carry a good selection of Allen wrenches. So let me just write this down. Various screwdrivers or one screwdriver with a bunch of bits. So you got screwdrivers. You should already have a knife on you, but not a bad idea to have a utility knife, something that you can beat up on, and you might hesitate to put, $200 or $300 knife into the mud or whatever, cutting random crap from your vehicle, but use your utility knife. That's what it's good for. So you got your hammer, you got your channel locks, you got your Allen wrenches, you got your screwdrivers, you got your utility knife. Another thing that you might want to have in your toolbox is a Wonder Bar. And I think Marty mentions this later on. No, he doesn't. A Wonder Bar, there may come a time where you get into an accident and as you're driving away, you hear something rubbing as your tire is, rubbing up against the inside of your wheel well or whatever. You might need to use your Wonder Bar in order to pry it back. So a good Wonder Bar goes a long way. Highly, highly recommend that you get something like that. And by the way, all of these items in this toolkit, just go to a local pawn shop. You go to a local pawn shop, people are pawning tools left and right. You can usually make a deal with the people behind the counter. You just say, hey, look, I want to pay cash for these. Can you give me a break? The worst they can do is say no. The best they can do is say, oh man, you're willing to do that? Cool. I'll take, 5% off or whatever. I'm going to dismiss that call. I have no idea who you are. So go to a local pawn shop, pay in cash. You'll probably get some of these tools for a better price. Continuing with that list, you may want to carry a socket wrench with a bunch of sockets or some open-ended wrenches in case things are starting to, come loose on you. So far we got hammer, channel locks, Allen wrenches, screwdrivers, utility knife, Wonder Bar, socket, socket wrench, various pliers. Can't hurt to, have some needle nose pliers, some wire cutters. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And I don't want this to sound like tool time, from Home Improvement, but you can carry a lot of tools in your vehicle. You can take up a lot of space in your vehicle. You can also create a lot of noise with tools jingling around. Recently I just got a badass, flexible duffel bag from the Wilderness. So shout out to the Wilderness. They're good people. They're out in Arizona. I've been wearing their belts for years and have a bunch of their products. But they sent me this really cool tool bag and they've got it in high visibility colors. So check those guys out. It's a brand new tool bag. But guys, think about what you carry in your tool bag. Make it work for you. And don't carry tools that you don't know how to use. All right, next up, 36, also appropriate. Don't carry first aid kit items that you don't know how to use. You need to have, at a minimum, tourniquets in your vehicle. At Fieldcraft, the whole idea is carry a tourniquet on you. I like putting tourniquets on my oh crap handles. Good tourniquet makes sense for every passenger in an area where it's accessible. So you think about it, you have those tourniquets on the oh crap handles. You may also want to put one on your center console where everyone can reach that center point. You may want to put a first aid kit inside of your center console where everyone could reach it. I know Jerry Young has his first aid kit behind his headrest, and you know he also has another headrest where he has additional first aid kit items that he could easily reach. So think about that one. Whatever first aid kit items you put in there are going to be up to you, but most common things when you're working on a vehicle, injuries to your hands, you may want to have some emergency eye wash. You may want to include some nitrile gloves. It doesn't sound like something that's too sexy, but depending on what you're working with in your vehicle, if you have good gloves, great. But if you put those nitrile gloves on and then you put your gloves on or vice versa, then you have the ability to keep that stuff off your hands. So you go into a important meeting smelling like gasoline, they might not hire you. Okay, number 37, kitchen garbage bags. Garbage bags, number six, or six of them. I would rather carry 55-gallon drum liners because you can make an emergency bivy sack out of it. You can make a beanbag chair to spend the night on if you have to sleep on that. You can do a lot. You can take a broken window and you can patch it, you know, making yourself look like a, you know, someone driving an awesome vehicle with patchwork garbage bags as windows. But guys, kitchen garbage bags. Number 38, map and compass. Keep in mind, Marty believed that every survival class should start off with not only just philosophy mindset, but the first lesson should be map and compass. Because if you know how to navigate, you're probably not going to get lost. He liked adding the map and compass to this winter vehicle kit, cold weather kit, because he said, if you do have to navigate, you have the tools to do so. Problem with carrying a map in your vehicle, is you're not always going to be in that particular area. Now, Marty was not a great fan of the GPS, and he understood them. He used them before, and I like them, but I learned the old-fashioned way. I know the drawback to the old-fashioned way, though. That's carrying a lot of maps, and it's just, it's not likely that you're going to be able to carry maps of every single area, especially not one over 24,000 maps. What you can carry is a good old road atlas, though. So get an old road atlas. GPS unit ever goes down or you can't figure out where you are, use your road atlas. That'll help you get you back on the right path. All right, number 39, medications if necessary. If we think of the rule of threes, you can survive about 3 minutes without oxygenated blood going through your body. Carry the medication that allows you to have that oxygenated blood going through your body. If you need something that's absolutely vital, carry that. Just be aware that if you are carrying it in your vehicle in cold weather, take it out before the hot weather comes along, because that hot weather will knock the life expectancy of that medication. Okay, chemical hand warmers. Here we go. Number 12. Marty talked about using chemical hand warmers one time on his battery. He said that the battery was so cold, it didn't want to turn over. So he and his buddy, I believe it was his friend Todd, they put chemical hand warmers around the battery, warmed up the battery, and it was just enough to get that car going, or the ATV, or whatever it was. Chemical hand warmers, we already talked about them. Get them, totally worth it. Okay, number 41, Sterno with stand and small cooking pot. This is one of my favorite ones. When I was about 12 years old, I learned about Sterno, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And I mean, keep in mind, my budget when I was 12 years old was maybe like $20 for taking out the garbage, shoveling snow, doing like the jobs that like a kid would normally have to do to help out the family. So when I learned about Sterno, there was a store called Benny's, and it was kind of like Ocean State Job Lot. It was kind of like, there's another place called Yankee Trader back in the day. And I would go to these places because you can get cans of Sterno. And I was like, whoa, hold on. So this stuff, you light it and it just burns and burns. And I didn't know that it was alcohol. It was just that purple gel, but I thought it was the coolest stuff ever. So I would use the Sterno and I would cook things in the backyard. I'd go grab a pot or a pan from my mom's kitchen. And I was like, all right, I'm going to make stuff in the backyard. And I thought it was the coolest thing ever. Well, Sterno still is a great heat source for people who do catering and things like that. But in an era where we now have white gas stoves and isobutane stoves, and preferably the isobutane, I would say that Sterno is not as relevant because I can boil water very quickly with my MSR pocket rocket way faster than Sterno. Now, what's the trade-off? Sterno is dirt cheap, right? Couple bucks. Pocket rocket, probably 35, 40 bucks for a pocket rocket. You can go to Army surplus stores and you can get surplus Army issue, but pocket rockets that guys bring in. You can find them on eBay, right? You can find them at pawn shops. You could probably get a pocket rocket for 25 bucks. The cans of fuel, $6 or $7. I mean, you can get some of the bigger ones. So you're definitely spending more. It takes up more space. It's a little bit more complicated of a tool. And that does have some moving parts. But the trade-off is for that space, you boil water in a fraction of the time. Guys, I'm going to let you decide which is going to be the most appropriate one for you. But just know that I carry a modern stove in my car. When I go backpacking, I carry a modern stove. We need to get away from this idea, this kind of fantasy idea that all you need is just a fire. Well, you might be in a place where you can't get a fire going easily. And if I can decide, here's a mindset shift. If I can decide to carry something that just gets the job done, but I don't get any cool points, or I can deliberately handicap myself for style, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, F you guys who are making fun of me for not looking cool, I am drinking warm water. You guys are freezing your asses off. Guys, carry what's practical. All right. He also said small cooking pot. That was also part of 41. So here's my advice for cold weather. Get yourself a cooking pot that has a wide base. The reason being, that wide base is going to transfer that heat way better than a tall container. So think of it this way. Imagine you have like a 1-quart saucepan in your house, okay, or a frying pan. You put that over the fire and it boils water faster than a tall cylinder. Imagine like a water bottle that's made out of stainless steel. You will boil water faster over and over and over. Same heat, same fuel source, same fire size, whatever, with the wide base than you will with a tall container. So in your vehicle, carry a good cooking pot that has a wide base. All right, guys, we're wrapping this up. 42, fire making supplies. Mentioned this earlier, Yuko matches, ferro rod, Vaseline cotton balls, Bic lighters. You can carry a chunk of Duraflame log or, you know, fat wood if you want, but make sure you have a good fire starter. All right, pad and pencil. This is for accidents. And to that, I would say you can definitely add a disposable camera. Let's say that you lose your phone. You still can take pictures. Very important to document everything. Also, the pad and pencil allows you to leave a note. So let's say you do have to egress from your area, abandon your vehicle, then you can leave a note and say, look, I'm walking to this location. Someone finds your vehicle. They can find you along the way, that type of thing. All right, number 44. Toilet paper and plastic bags. We don't want to think about that reality of having to use our vehicle as a restroom. But if you've ever gone to a concert, if you've ever gone to a place where, you know, the bathroom is probably not nearby or you can't get to it, sometimes you just got to go and you got to go. If you've ever been stuck in traffic driving home from skiing and, you know, you start warming up and things start going, well, you might break out that water bottle and use that. You know, guys have a little bit easier of a time doing this, by the way, when no one's looking. I always tell people, if you got to take a leak when you're in your vehicle, get outside your vehicle and check the air of your tire. But while you're doing that, hang wang. All right. Number 45, last one on the list is hand sanitizer. So that hand sanitizer is used for number 44, when you do your bathroom duty and all that, number one or number two. Now, guys, there are a couple things that I didn't mention on this list that I have adopted in my vehicle, so I'm just going to add those here. One of them is a high visibility vest, And the reason being, there are so many cases of people getting hit when they go to the aid of others on the road, or they're doing self-aid. So get high visibility, like DOT yellow, get a vest that you can put on. That'll go a long, long way. Now, if I'm thinking in my vehicle, working back some stuff that I have, one of the things that I would recommend in addition to that vest is a glass break. You may need to get out of your vehicle where you'll need to break the glass. You may need to get into someone's vehicle by breaking the glass. If this were the 80s or the 90s, I would say grab an antenna, like a fixed metal antenna that has that little ball on the end, and whip that into the corner of a window, and you'll break glass easily. But most vehicles don't have those antennas anymore. So I would say just carry like a Rescue Me, not a bad thing to have in your vehicle. It also has a belt cutter in case you ever have to cut any type of webbing. Another thing that I would recommend in this winter vehicle survival kit, we talked about the things that commonly happen. So we talked about MaxTrax boards. We talked about the shovel, talked about the Bubba rope. The sleeping bag, the puffy suit, all that stuff is great. It all makes sense. The other thing I would put in there is a broken down Baofeng radio, a UV5R radio. Make sure the batteries are charged and put it in your console. The reason being is you might not have cell phone service, but you may have the ability to assemble that radio and start communicating over and over and over. And hopefully someone is picking up on that. Now you can decide if you want to carry just a standard radio, or you carry a radio with a whip antenna, or you carry a radio with a rooftop antenna, but have multiple ways of communicating. Now, a little bit of an overlap from what I mentioned in the backpack video, I carry a Garmin inReach every single day, and I make sure that that thing is charged. The reason being is if I don't have cell phone service anywhere in the world, if I can see the sky, I can get a message out. And that message, especially if it's a distress message, can go to my buddies Jerry and George, and they'll know what to do. So I like the idea of being able to communicate. I don't mind paying $12 or $15 a month as insurance, knowing that I have the ability to get a message out when I need it, right? So that's absolutely critical. Something that's not mentioned in this winter emergency survival kit is a way of gathering food. I am not a fan of leaving firearms inside of a vehicle, but I am a fan of traveling with firearms and making sure that I have the ability to secure them. If you're going to carry any firearm in your vehicle in the wintertime for putting food on the table, carry a 22. Does not need to be a fancy 22. It can be a bolt action 22. And some people will say, well, why bolt action over autoloader? The bolt action is a positive feed. You are controlling the recoil of it. So few moving parts, so few parts to break. Get yourself a Ruger 7722. Get yourself an old Marlin. Get yourself anything that makes any type of repeater that's not an autoloader. Although the autoloaders now, if they're properly maintained, are great. But guys, get yourself a bolt action 22 or a lever action 22 or a pump action 22. Put that in your vehicle if you have a long road trip. All right, going down through this list, a couple other things that I would highly, highly recommend. How about a basic whistle? Okay, a basic whistle. The reason being is you can signal for help with your flares. You have your high visibility flag and your tent pole, but a whistle. You can honk the horn of your car, but what does that run off of? When that battery eventually dies, you'll have a whistle to signal for help. And as long as you're breathing air, you can blow that whistle. Not a bad thing to put inside your vehicle. Couple other things as I'm thinking of like how I work my way back on my vehicle from the front. Marty believed in carrying items in places that make sense. So Marty would put an old canvas bag inside of his engine compartment with extra washer fluid. And he said, why am I not taking advantage of that space? You have to frequently assess that container because the engine compartment does warm up. And sometimes it can dislodge, and you don't want your engine compartment sounding like a can of beans. But use your vehicle space wisely. So extra washer fluid for your vehicle makes sense inside the engine compartment if you can tuck it away someplace where it's not going to rattle free. Working your way back, you may want to, in addition to having a patch kit for your vehicle, tire pressure gauge. We know that cold air affects the pressure of your tires. So a tire pressure gauge will let you know what are you running at when the temps drop. Chances are the PSI is going to be a lot lower. You may need to air up. So a good tire pressure gauge will go a very, very long way. We keep moving back and we get into the cab of the vehicle. A couple other things that make sense. One thing that I really like carrying in my vehicle is a kneeling pad. Go to the Home Depot, go to Lowe's. You don't have to spend a lot. If you have an old camping pad, you can cut it. You can tape it together. You can, epoxy it if you want. I just don't know how the epoxy will affect the clothes foam. But have the ability to put something down to kneel on when you're working on your vehicle. A good kneeling pad goes a very, very long way. Guys, this list, 45 winter vehicle survival items. I mean, it's been around for a while. And Marty was a believer that you constantly have to innovate. You constantly have to assess what you're carrying and ask not just what are you carrying, but what's the why. I'm not the mobility guy at the company. I'm not Mikey Hernandez. I can't tell you how to lift vehicles or put on, you know, fancy things in the back, but I can talk about the practical side of the winter survival stuff based on what I know. And everything is complimentary. So, you know, Mikey will definitely tell me, hey, you should carry this. And I'll tell him, hey, you should carry that. Marty would absolutely fit in with the Fieldcraft crowd with what to carry. He'd probably give Glover a bunch of crap though and be like, oh, you modern military guys do this. Our old school military guys did it that way, right? That's how he was. I think he would appreciate me sharing this kit with you because like him, my goal is to make educated and very capable outdoors men and outdoors women. That's my job, period. I want to make you guys capable. I want you to be able to get home at night. That's what I love doing. And that's why I wanted to do this particular podcast. If you have any questions about any of the items here, feel free to reach out to me. My email is Estella, that's Estela, at fieldcraftsurvival.com. If you like this podcast, you can hit up contact at fieldcraftsurvival.com. DM me if you want. I'm on Instagram, at Estella Wild Ed. That's Estela Wilded. That same handle is over on Twitter as well. And if there's something that you feel like, hey, you should add that, message me and maybe I will. Guys, thank you so much for listening to the Fieldcraft Survival Podcast. I've been your host, Kevin Estella. Hopefully you can adopt these cold weather vehicle survival kit items into your life. Till next time, guys.